You're with us for the morning show as we have presidential candidate conversations leading up to the November election. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Today we're hearing from the Trump ticket with a member of the reelection campaign. Mark Lauder is the director of strategic communications for the Donald Trump presidential reelection campaign. He previously served as special assistant to the president and press secretary to Vice President Mike Pence. What do you want to ask about his stances on policy and about the campaign trail? We're at 800-642-1234. Mark, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, Wisconsin is absolutely reeling from COVID. We lead the nation in new cases and hospitalizations. We have a field hospital open outside Milwaukee. What is the president going to do to stop the surge? What is his plan to deal with this health crisis?
Well, first and foremost, we are continuing to make sure that the states have the information they need to be able to take appropriate action at the local level. Also, we're also working to make sure that we have the therapeutics that are out there that are developed and available to our frontline responders, doctors, and nurses. And as we know, a vaccine is just around the corner.
Okay, so a vaccine is just around the corner. What will be the president's approach to deciding who gets the vaccine, and will it be mandatory?
Well, the vaccine is currently obviously in development, and what through Operation Warp Speed, you've got the federal government working with private partners and with the U.S. military to make sure that we are ready to distribute it as soon as it is approved by the FDA to get it out there. As the president has said, we want to make sure that our first responders, doctors, nurses, frontline responders, and also those who are in senior centers, nursing homes, they're the ones that can get to it first, because we obviously, those are the most vulnerable populations. And then making sure that we have the ability to get it out to the general public and so they can take it as directed by their doctors or as they choose.
All right. So in the meantime, what are states to do here as cases surge? What would you suggest?
Well, first and foremost, follow the CDC guidelines, which we have seen, which encourage social distancing, which encourage wearing masks if you are not able to socially distance. But we've also got to realize that we have got to get this country back to work. We've got to get this country back moving again, and that it's not an either-or choice. It's not either lock yourself in the basement or get back to life, get back to work, get back to school. We can do both of those things and protect those who are most vulnerable. And so what we're seeing is that we can socially distance. We can wear masks. We can trust the American people to make the best decisions for their health care, their own personal safety.
But when the president doesn't wear a mask,
information.
But when the president doesn't wear a mask, what kind of example is that setting?
Well, the president does wear a mask when he's in a position when he cannot be socially distanced or people are coming into close contact with him, as he has shown us on many occasions, he can wear a mask. But also, you know, the protections that are used around the president, with people being tested, people being kept at a distance, also create a different situation for him. And so what we're encouraging people to do is to take ownership of your own health and that of your family if someone might be of high risk tendencies. And so you can get back to work. You can get back to school. You can wear a mask when you need to. But we also don't believe that you should be forced that two guys out who are hunting on the weekend need to be wearing a mask in the middle of the woods.
Okay, so President Trump is holding rallies in Wisconsin, in Janesville, over the weekend, where there you look at the images, people are not wearing masks. So why is the president encouraging large gatherings when you're seeing just a huge surge in cases?
Well, what we see is a large number of people who are exercising their First Amendment rights to come out and assemble, to exercise their freedom of speech, to participate in our political process. And we provide temperature checks, we provide masks, we provide hand sanitizer to everyone who needs it. We encourage people to wear it. But we also trust in the American people that they don't need a nanny state government telling them they have to do something. We'll let the American people decide what's best for them. And if no one's being forced to go to these rallies, and if they are of a high risk tendency, and we believe
that the campaign is putting them on,
we are absolutely participating in a presidential campaign, and we're going to take our message to the American people. And those who want to voluntarily come out and participate in that process absolutely have the right to do so. We encourage them to consider their own personal health, but we don't need a nanny state government ordering people to stay home and not participate in the political process We'll trust the American people to make that decision for themselves.
We're talking with Mark Lauder, who is Director of Strategic Communications for President Trump's presidential reelection campaign. We're looking at presidential ticket conversations here on the Ideas Network, taking your questions about policy and strategy, 800-642-1234. Mark, let's look at election integrity. President Trump has resisted to committing to a peaceful transfer of power if he loses the election. His rhetoric has been confusing. It's been non-committal. Will the president accept the will he accept the election results and commit to a peaceful transfer of power?
I absolutely disagree with that characterization. The president has been fully committed to making sure that we have a peaceful transition. In fact, the transition process has been going on for months already with both campaigns in anticipation of the outcome of the election. But what we're not going to do is commit to accepting what could be faulty, flawed, or skewed results that don't accurately reflect the count. Because what we have seen going on in many of these Democrat-run states is the complete abandonment of election law and just tradition. I mean, you've got folks in Nevada and Pennsylvania who are saying, well, as long as your vote arrives by the end of the week, whether it's postmarked or not, we're going to count it. In America, we don't have election week. We have election day.
FBI Director Christopher Wray has said, you know, the FBI has not seen any evidence of voting fraud, of widespread voting fraud. Why is the president spreading this disinformation?
Well, then I would ask the director to open his eyes and read a few headlines. When you see ballots that are being discarded, thrown out in the mail, there was a story in the New York Times, I believe, just a few months ago, where you actually had a Democrat operative talking about how voter fraud is real in the mail. He specialized in doing it, and that they even had post people on their payroll to discard ballots from people they didn't want. So we know it's real. And what we want to make sure is that every legitimate and legal vote is counted. And we want to make sure that it's counted when it's supposed to be, which is election day, and not a week later when you suddenly wake up and realize how many results or how many votes you might need and then go out and manufacture them out of nothing.
Let's bring in Josh now in Eau Claire. Hi, Josh. Hi, Josh. Can you hear
Hello.
Us? Hi.
Yes, I can.
Go ahead.
My question is, what is the average person supposed to do when the Trump campaign holds large gatherings and allows people not to wear masks, and then they leave there, potentially exposing everyone else? I liken it to somebody choosing to exercise their free right to get drunk and drive down the road. It endangers everyone else around them. And why is this being treated as they get to choose, even though it impacts other people?
Mark Lauder.
Well, what I would tell you is that if you are very concerned about your health and your safety, then take the precautions to protect yourself. If you want to wear a mask, if you want to stay socially distanced, then you can absolutely do that, and that is your right. And if you want to hide in the basement with Joe Biden, you are also able to do that. But for the rest of the people who want to get out there, exercise their freedom of assembly, their freedom of speech, their freedom to participate in our political process, that is not something we need permission from the government for. That is our right. And so for those who want to participate differently, choose not to participate, or take different precautions, that is also their right to do so.
Let's bring in Shauna now, joining us from Milwaukee with a question. Hi, Shauna.
Hello, how are you? Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to say that the Republican Party doesn't want a nanny state and says that no one should tell anyone to wear masks only across their faces, but the Republican Party will not allow a woman freedom of choice for her own body. And they say they don't want a nanny state? Please answer the question.
Shauna is bringing up abortion and the stance of Roe versus Wade specifically, I would think, Shauna.
Right. If you don't want a nanny state, but you don't want to wear masks, really, and then you want to be inside a woman's body telling her what to do?
Mark Lauder?
Well, what I would tell you is that by and large, the Republican Party stands for life. And we believe that every life is precious and every life is valuable, including that of the unborn. And that is something that this president proudly stands on. He is the most pro-life president ever. And that's not something we're also going to be ashamed of or have to defend ourselves against. We believe that every life matters, including the life of an unborn baby.
I want to look at the racial injustice protests, and we have seen across the country and, of course, here in Wisconsin and Kenosha in particular, the Jacob Blake case. What specific policies would President Trump enact as president to address this, and why has he not denounced white supremacy?
Well, that's absolutely incorrect. I mean, it's just a blatant lie. The president has denounced white supremacy on dozens of occasions. It's documented in national media interviews going back into 2015, all the way through the 16 campaign in the White House, and even again.
So how will he address systemic racism? What policies would he put in place?
The president has signed an executive order already talking about improving police training and making sure that any officer of the law who acts outside of their authority faces the full weight of the justice system. But I got to tell you, this is not an either or choice. It's not about being against social injustice or police brutality and or supporting the police. We can do both. And the president has shown that. He has stood with the men and women who put that uniform on and answer the 911 calls in our emergencies. But he has also called for the Justice Department to fully investigate and prosecute anyone who has exceeded their authority. And what we have seen going on in our cities, including in Kenosha, Minneapolis, and so many others, is complete anarchy. And it's because you've got radical, liberal, leftist leaders
very quickly
who have abandoned the police.
And very quickly, what do you think about the mute button tonight?
Once again, it's just what Democrats do when they don't like the outcome. They change the rules. The president will obviously continue to debate Joe Biden tonight. He'll talk about his record, prosecute Joe Biden's failures, and hopefully he'll actually make sure that Joe Biden answers some questions about packing the Supreme Court or his pay-to-play schemes with his family, whether the moderator brings it up or not.
Mark, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Mark Lauder is Strategic Communications Director for President Trump's reelection campaign. Coming up, we look at home ownership and the pandemic and housing insecurity. That's in a minute here on the Ideas Network.